Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend general market newsletter for Sunday, July 30th. First off, I hope everyone had a nice weekend. And if you happen to be new to these newsletters at Breakpoint Trades, the weekend newsletters are quite comprehensive. A lot of charts on the weekends because there's more time. We tend to cover a lot of the bigger picture charts, the weekly and monthly charts, which we obviously don't do intraday. Okay. So that's what these weekly newsletters are for. Again, there's a lot of folks who, you know, they work jobs, they can't trade much during the week. They have 401ks to manage. So again, that's what these weekend newsletters are for. So quite a few charts to cover tonight. Let's get started. As you can see with the table of contents at the top, it's divided into four major sections. On the admin comments, on the first off, the Symmetry webinar. So I'm at this moment, I'm thinking about doing the webinar next Thursday evening. If not, I may move it to the following week. On the online poll that I sent out where I ask you guys to let me know the best times for you, most of you actually responded between 8 to 9 p.m. on the evenings. So that's probably when the webinar will be. Again, if you can't make the webinar, I'm going to record it and I'll have a PDF file. I'm only going to make this available to paying members. I am going to invite non-paying members to the webinar, but in order to get copies of those, you should become a member. And again, that's not asking very much. Membership at Breakpoint Trades is $50 a month. Again, just think about how much you pay on your iPhone every month. You're paying $100 a month, probably at least. Many of you probably spend $5 a day at Starbucks, $10 a day. I mean, Breakpoint Trades membership is very reasonable, especially in this day of age. Okay, so a lot of things to cover here. So you can see, as far as the general market, we're going to cover the bigger picture charts first. We'll look at the other major indexes as well, some of the key indicators. We'll look at the FANG stocks. We'll do our typical market sector review, and we'll look at a few world markets. If you look below here, I did add some text. Not going to read all this. But one interesting thing, guys, take a look at the VIX table here below. I showed these statistics in mid-July, and I've updated them since. Again, to me, this table is just amazing. It shows you the historic low volatility that we've had in the market this year. The market's had a good year, obviously. The S&P and Dow were up about 10.5%. The NASDAQ is up 18% for the year, and the NASDAQ 100 is up an amazing 21% for the year. Those are huge gains. This bull market continues. Every dip continues to be bought. However, look at the VIX volatility here. This really spells out what a historic market this has been. So from January 4th, 1993 to April 30th, 2017, 6,126 days, the VIX was below 10, only 64 of those, actually only 20 of those days, or 0.33% of the time. Okay, from May 1st to July 30th, 64 trading days, about 3 months, the VIX was below 10, 30 of those trading days, almost half the time. Now that's intraday lows, okay? But again, just look at the contrast. This shows you what an outlier, oddball year this has been, okay? Now, as far as the market, the bull market continues. The trend is obviously up. The long-term trend is up, and I do expect the market to make new highs. But in the very short term, we did see a shot across the bow last week, especially on Thursday. Again, way too early to say if a top is in place. And when I talk about top, guys, I don't mean the top in the bull market. I think if a top is in place, I think it's a shorter-term intermediate top where we would have a correction. You know, it could scare some folks, but then I think later this year, the market will make new all-time highs once again, okay? Still too early to say, but I do believe a correction is coming. Either we've just begun it, or maybe the S&P still goes up and makes one more high. My one caution here about a little top in place is that the S&P had a high of 2484 last week. That's so close to the big psychological round number of 2500. As you know, markets like to hit those round numbers. So it wouldn't surprise me if the market still tried to bounce up and tag that 2500. I'd actually feel a lot better about it if it did. But if it does, again, we could be set up for a nice little correction maybe in August and in October. Again, I do believe market will make, then rally again and make a new all-time high again this year, maybe November, October. But in the short term, it is cautious, especially with how things have been. Okay. As far as this year, though, we've had predominantly long plays. We've had a lot of great trade ideas out there. But again, with the low historic volatility, we do know a correction is coming sometime. Again, has it begun, or we still got to make higher highs? So we'll see. You know, we're getting pretty close to August. August is, we'll be starting this week. Okay, let's get started with the newsletter. So item number two below shows you the index sector table and what transpired last week. So as you can see, mostly a down week. The Dow led to the upside, though, up 1.16%. While all the other indexes were slightly down. NASDAQ down 0.2%. Russell down about 0.5%. The S&P was just slightly down 0.02%. Again, way too early to say short-term top is in place, but it's possible. We'll just have to see. Anything goes here. And let's go ahead and move on to the market sectors. For the week, pretty much as you'd expect, mixed bag, kind of a 50-50 mixture of up and down here. The strongest sector last week was energy, XLE up 2.1%, and retail up 2.4%. Oh, and gold stocks up 2.25%. Weakest sectors last week were transports, down 2.6%, drugs and healthcare, as well as semiconductors and home builders, also metals and mining. Currency-wise, U.S. dollar down 0.6%. That continues to melt down. Last week was an FOMC. The dollar continued selling off after that. And as we move down to commodities here, little mixed bag here. Precious metals did well. Gold had a great week, up 8.6%. Again, I'll be discussing commodities more in depth in that newsletter. And at the very bottom, TLT 20-year bonds down 1.4%. Next, item number three below shows the economic news calendar. There's a full gamut of news this next week. So the market's been in earnings season. As you know, that's been taking mostly center stage. That's also why the market held up fairly well in July. The market typically has been doing that in earnings seasons. But with earnings season, I think a lot of the bigger players now out of the picture are going to start winding down. That may be a reason for the, you know, one of the things to start. Let me rephrase that, one of the things that won't be in place to hold up the market so much. Okay, otherwise this week the big ticket item is the non-farm job payroll report on Friday. Okay, all right, let's move to the index charts. First off, we'll look at some of the major indexes in one chart. So that's the first chart below, item number four. This is the weekly snapshot again of the five major indexes. Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, just with simple Bollinger Bands, weekly view. Again, the Dow led to the upside. You can see it on the top chart. S&P closed with basically a doji candlestick. The other chart, the other indexes, the NASDAQ and NDX, also had doji candlesticks. They were slightly down, as well as the Russell. Again, very historic volatility year. Hell of a rally from the November lows of last year. Next, chart number five, here's the monthly view so far. Again, pretty solid gains across the board. As you can see, we had doji candlesticks last month, but that didn't lead to any reversion to mean pullbacks or anything. They never triggered. Remember, these doji candlesticks, to trigger some kind of pullback, you need a move below the dojis. We never got that on the S&P or NASDAQ. We've made new highs again. Again, hell of a rally this year, and of course, hell of a bull market since the March 2009 lows. 8.5 years into this bull market now. Next, chart 6 shows the daily view of the major indexes with the Bollinger Bands. Again, you can see made new highs last week on the Dow and S&P, but the other indexes had nice little pullbacks on Thursday and Friday. Russell's been leading the downside here lately. Again, way too early to call any little short-term top. But again, you know, we're nearing that time of year. We've gotten through July now. We have weekly divergences. A correction could be in order anytime in the market. Again, the place to be has been in longs, and that continues to be the case. But do not lose your discipline, guys. Do not get complacent, especially up here. Next, let's move to the S&P 500 charts. We'll cover these in depth, then we'll move on to the other indexes. So chart 7, here's the monthly view of the major index of the S&P 500. And again, you can see the bull market since the 2009 lows. You can see this uptrend channel that we've had in place for at least a few years now. Pretty much tag, you're it. You can see how the top of the candle pretty much tagged the upper channel line. It actually didn't tag it. It looks like it did on here. It got very, very, very close. Again, should we go up to the 2,500 round number? That could be the target in the short term. Again, no changes here in this chart. We've continued to work higher. Last year, I said one target of the S&P could be the top of this channel, and lo and behold, we're pretty much there. Next, chart 8. Here's the same monthly view, just zoomed in so you can see the channel a little bit clearer. You can see, technically, we haven't tagged it there. Almost there. If we go up to the 2,500 area, round number. Remember, the market likes those psychological big round numbers. That would pretty much tag it, and that could be a little area for at least a logical pullback. Okay. Again, amazing rally this year so far. The 5 RSI at the top is now almost at 94%. Pretty crazy. Again, when the RSI gets that high, guys, you don't end bull markets there. Again, I've discussed this before. That signals strength, but it also means that you can get a short-term pullback. Again, just look back at what happened in 2007. The RSI hit its highest peak in early 2007. Market had a little month or so, two-month pullback there. Then it made new highs. The RSI went lower. You can see it made 3 lower highs. Then it had a final top in place. So something similar could happen here as well. We could have a correction in the market for the next month or two. RSI pulls back. Then the market rallies and makes new all-time highs. The RSI makes lower highs. Maybe put a top in place sometime next spring. I could see that happen. But ultimately, again, any type of correction here, I believe will just be a correction and the market will ultimately go to new all-time highs. Let me be clear. Next. Chart 9, here's the BPT 401k paint dry system. Obviously, no changes here. Again, as I've been discussing, this isn't going to go signal a bear market for quite a long time. My guess would be sometime next year. Okay. Again, it's like watching paint dry. Beautiful chart, though. It's done a damn good job of catching the bull and bear markets. Next. Chart 10, here's a weekly view of the S&P. Again, last week we formed a doji candlestick. You could see it there. We do have now 5 potential waves here on this rising wedge pattern. Remember, back in June, I discussed the negative divergence on the MACD, but I said we only had 3 waves, and that was the problem, that we could have a little pullback and then a new high. Well, that's what happened. We got a pullback, which was potentially wave D, then another move higher in wave E. Remember, true rising wedge patterns are 5 waves. Well, now we have that. Again, it doesn't mean this wedge can't be blown out. If the S&P were to rally up to 2550, then this pattern would be negated. It wouldn't be a wedge anymore. But right in here, it's potential. And sometimes you can overshoot the wedge a little bit, say go up to 2500 and then fake everyone out, then reverse. So with the divergence in place, with the 5 waves here, guys, this is the place where you don't want to throw caution into the wind on the long side. I know people have told you that all year long and the market has rallied higher, but I'm telling you right here, it's objective to be very cautious. Okay. Again, you got to think of this like, you know, like that old saying, you know, how much blood can you squeeze out of a turnip? Whatever the hell that means. But, you know, it's kind of like here, how much upside do the S&P have right here? Again, I think there's a lot more upside still in the bull market, but a nice pullback here would really help reset things. Okay. But again, no trigger. Keep an eye on the doji candlestick. Falling below last week's lows of 24.59 would be a shot across the bow. May finally start this. Next. Chart 11, here's another weekly view, shows that potential wave or that potential wedge pattern. This also discusses the moving average configuration. Again, the moving averages are obviously very bullishly configured. You don't end bull markets that way. You end bull markets when the moving averages tend to consolidate, starts to pinch together, flatten out, kind of like they did in July, August 2015. But when they're expanded like this, that doesn't mean you can't get quick hard corrections. Just look what happened in 2014 in September and October there. They were expanded, wide moving averages, bullishly stacked, and you had a pullback all the way below the 50-week EMA there. Well, look what would happen here if price pulled to the 50-week EMA. That's all the way down at 23.15. That would be a hell of a correction, guys. 150 S&P points, right? That would scare a few people, wouldn't it? But the bull market would still be intact. So again, just keep that in perspective. Next, chart 12, here's another weekly view of the potential wave count. Again, don't get caught up in the labeling on this wave count. All I really want to show you here is that there is some kind of fifth wave right here. And so if fifth waves is when you can get some kind of corrections. And so that's why I'm cautious here. Okay, that and along with the MACD divergence. All right, moving on to the daily charts. Chart 13, here's the daily view of the S&P. Again, it hit that price measurement of the pattern last week, got a little above it at the 2484, and we've pulled back a little bit. Again, still too early to tell. Price is still over the 9-day exponential moving average. You know, that's a short-term moving average. That's that pink magenta moving average. So obviously, you know, you can't overanalyze things. But given the weekly charts, you got to be a little cautious here. But again, as I stated in some of my opening comments, we're also very close to that psychological 2,500 round number. So I can still also see this trying to recover and going up to 2,500 as well. Okay. But, you know, it may want to do that still just to tag it and then fake everyone out and then finally have its correction. But anyway, otherwise, the S&P daily hit its initial price target. Next, chart 14, here's another daily view, zoomed in view. Last week on Wednesday, I drew an aggressive rising wedge, and that played out. We had a pretty hard correction on Thursday. Obviously, it recovered off the lows. Again, the dips continue to be bought, but it did play out for at least a quick pullback so far, as you can see. Next, chart 15, here's the daily pivots. Last week, we reversed near that pivot. Pull back. Again, over the 2479 pivot, you have the 2500 round number. So to me, the next pivot's above that, but to me, that's the next big area above there. You can see all the support pivots below. Next, chart 16, here's the daily S&P 500 with the ATR trailing stop. That's a potential support to watch. And of course, the BPTMA Deluxe has been green. It's been green, honestly, since November 2016, except for that one little time, a couple days in early July, but it quickly reverted back to green. Obviously, it's done a damn good job about catching trends, ignoring a lot of noise. That's what I designed that indicator for. Unlike anything else, you won't find it anywhere else, guys. It's very custom to breakpoint trades. Next. Moving on to some of these intraday charts, here's chart 17, a two-hour view. Again, you can see last week's pullback. We had a three-pattern push on the RSI at the top. That's where the RSI made three lower highs while price made three higher highs. I didn't draw it in there, but you could see a little rising wedge there on price if you draw it just from July 24th and you connect the upper trend line. You see that? Can you visualize that? You also had MACD divergence. So we got a little pullback here, a little bounce late last week. The question here is this some sort of ABC where that first move down was A, this is a B bounce. Then we get at least one more pullback is a C. If we hold that support area below, you see the shaded area in cyan. If we don't go below that, I still think there's potential we could just push back up to, say, 2,500. But we'll just have to see. All right. Next. Chart 18 here is a 60-minute view. Again, you can see that three-pattern push. We had divergence. We broke a trend line. Not surprised we had a pullback. Again, short-term, is this wave, is this bounce here some kind of wave B and we still get a C down? Or is it something more bearish where a top is in place? Again, had we hit 2,500, I'd be more convinced that some sort of top was in place. I'm just not sure right now, guys. You know, that's how technical analysis goes. You know, it's not an exact science. There's an art to it. Next, Charber 19. Here's another 60-minute view. This shows you potential wave count. Again, was wave 5 put in place last week, or can we still have another push? We'll just have to see. All right. Moving on. Next, chart number 20. Here's a 15-minute view of the S&P. The open boxes there represent open gaps. Again, market likes to fill gaps. You can see that happen last week. We filled two gaps. On Thursday, we filled that open gap from July 19th. We then bounced. Again, can it go back and make new highs here or not? Or, you know, is this some kind of wave B bounce? And we'll see. I added fibs here to note we got a little, didn't quite make it to the 61.8% fib retracement. And finally, chart 21, here's a 5-minute view showing the pivots. Primary pivot on the cash S&P for Monday is 2470. Let's move on and look at the other indexes. Chart 22, here's the Dow monthly view. You can see up 2.25% for the month. It's tagging the upper channel line. So again, that's a possible area where it may find resistance. We've been targeting the upper channel line, guys. If you go listen to my newsletters last year, I had said that's a target to the upside. Ultimately, we've made it. Next, chart 23, here's the quarterly view. The Dow ended with a positive first quarter this year. That bodes well for the entire year, or for a good year in close. And, you know, we've had three up quarters so far. The third quarter is only a month into it, so, you know, third quarter can go anyway. For now, it's up 2.25% this quarter. Next, chart 24, here's the quarterly stats going back to 1950 on the Dow, and I have it sorted from the highest first quarter change to the lowest. And as these stats show, very strong correlation here. When the market has a positive first quarter, 95% of the time, the market closes positive for the year. It only didn't close positive two instances, 1981 and 2002. So very strong stats. This year, the first quarter, it was up 4.6%. That boded well for the year. And you can see this quarter right now, it's up 2.3%. But again, I want to point out, guys, that doesn't mean that every quarter is going to be up. You can see plenty of these years, even some fairly strong years where you had down quarters, you know, a third down quarter or something like that. So I still believe that it's possible we could, you know, have a down quarter maybe in the third quarter, especially if the market has a correction, say in August and October, something like that. Next, chart 25, here's the weekly view. Again, no change here, continues higher. There is still the MACD divergence to monitor. Next, chart 26, here's the daily view. Showed this possible rising wedge last week, but price is sort of blowing above that. Again, if it reverses down from here, this it could be a fake out, but for now, price is quite a bit over this, so this may need to be adjusted. Next, chart 27, here's a weekly view of the NASDAQ. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I showed the NASDAQ, actually 3 weeks ago, I said it looked like a bull flag pattern. I said, wouldn't be surprised to see it make another high, and that's what it did. On this new high, there is divergence here now. Next, chart 28, here's the triple Qs, NASDAQ 100. Same deal, you have divergence on this new high. This also shows you symmetry. You can see the last pullbacks. Largest pullback recently was $7.70. While that broke the pullback in November, didn't break longer-term symmetry. The next ones are $9.30 and, of course, over $20. So still no break in long-term symmetries, obviously. Next, chart 29. Here's a daily view. Again, you can see the symmetry note. We broke symmetry in June with a $6.40 pullback. That led to a lower high. But remember, symmetry is fractal. You didn't break the pullback from the June 2016 highs. I mean, pullback lows. So that led to a new high. This last high, we had some nice divergence in place on the RSI and the CCI. So we'll see what happens now. Again, still has a lot of support. The moving averages is here. They're still expanded out. But definitely keep an eye on the text, guys. Next. Chart 30, here's another daily view, just zoomed in a little bit. Next, chart 31, here's a 60-minute view. This shows you short-term symmetry, pullbacks from the July lows. You can see on Thursday, we broke that symmetry with a $3.70 pullback on an increased volume. All right, then that told you to be on the lookout for a lower high. So you can see the bounces so far have been on lighter volume. Ultimately, I think this is going to form a lower high and come back down. I added some fibs here. Can it make it up to the 61.8% fib or not is the question. I don't know. If it does, I think that's an excellent area to start looking for a short. Even up around the 50% area, I think it's an excellent area to look for a short. Next. Chart 32, here's the Qs on the 60-minute time frame from TradeStation. I said to monitor the ATR trailing stop that was lost last week. That's also an area. You know, one could be short with a stop, say, above the ATR trailing stop, above that 144.71 area. See that? And finally, chart 33, here's a 15-minute view. Steve showed this last Thursday, possible wedge to monitor. Hard to say if this is playing out, but you can see the volume patterns look like they could play out. You can see the volume up was very light and started increasing in the day. Next, let's look at the Russell 2000, chart 34. You can see the big inverse head and shoulder that was in place as of 2016. Clearly that played out, but there's an obvious rising wedge now here on the weekly with MACD divergence. Next, chart 35, here's the daily view. You can see tagged the upper trend line last week. It hit that area on the fifth time. Clearly an important area. It's pulled back. Here I show potential wedge. Definitely something to be cautious on. Next, chart 36. Here's IWM. Steve showed this last week. You can see the little rising wedge there. He put a measured move. So we'll see how this plays out. Again, guys, clearly market trend is still up even in the shorter term, but obviously an area to be cautious. For those of you long-term, bull market should stay intact, I think. But again, we could be doing near some kind of correction. You know, we've had historic volatility this year. So let's go and take a look at the VIX. Chart 37, here's the VIX. As you can see, this bounced off the lower support area last week. It hit a low in the eights. It had never been there, at least in 30-something years on my charts. And I already discussed the historic low volatility, the VIX, you know, being below 10 since May 30th, almost 50% of the time, which is just unbelievable. So you can see it rallied off longtime support last week. When it gets that low, guys, it's hard for it to go much lower. Just should be very obvious. Common sense. Next, chart 38. Here's a 60-minute view of the VIX. Now here you can see it broke out of a falling wedge. I added fib retracements, and it's pulling back. Now, if this pull, to me, this looks like a bull flag setting up, high or low. If it look for a reversal here, but I wouldn't be surprised if this forms a higher low than tries to move higher. Next. Obviously, you know, if the VIX moves higher again, you could play it with some inverse ETFs like SDS, you know, DXD on the Dow, whatever. But you could also play some of the VIX ETFs like VXX. Here's a 60-minute chart. Notice how it looks like a bull flag setting up, doesn't it? Next, chart 40, UVXY. This is the leveraged VIX. Same deal. Look how it looks like a bull flag. Now remember, guys, these are quite volatile, so be cautious with them. And these VIX ETFs degrade, all right? So these aren't something to hold for months at a time, but they can be utilized for short-term trading instruments. All right, so I hope that's clear on the indexes. Now let's take a quick look at the FANG stocks. A lot of these are reported already. Chart 41, Facebook continues ever higher. Facebook taking over the world, kind of like Amazon, but again, still very strong. Next, chart 42, Google. This had earnings, disappointed a little bit. You can see gap down on that. Again, longer term, still in an uptrend, but been going sideways for a while. One to keep an eye on. Again, the market has moved up on these FANG stocks. In fact, there's a FANG stock ETF now. So clearly got to keep an eye on these suckers. If these really start to weaken, that's a big negative for the market. Next, chart 43, Amazon shot across the bow, as we've seen. Definitely something to keep an eye on here, guys. Jeff Bezos was, one day he was the richest guy in the world. He was taking that away. But again, I think that's short term. I think he ultimately will be. As you know, Amazon's pretty much taken over all facets of our life, from anything electronic, you know, I mean, anything you order online, pretty much. They're getting into groceries now. Heck, I wouldn't be surprised if they sell cars one day. Who knows? But, you know, I think every day we must have an Amazon package delivered to our house. My wife buys so much from there. I keep telling her, you know, one day you may not be able to go to the stores and look at it first. You just may have to buy everything online as Amazon takes over everything. Kind of a sad thought, but, you know, is what it is. Next, chart 44, Netflix continues to hold up. It did have a quick pullback last week to the 9 EMA. I had this as a reversion to mean setup that played out for a nice quick trade. Longer term, still holding up here, but we'll see. And finally, chart 45, Apple. I think this reports tomorrow. I have to check that again. Obviously, that's a big one to keep an eye on, guys. If this shoots higher, market, I think, will hold up. But if this were to disappoint and sell off, that could be a big shot across the bow for the market. So keep an eye on that. All right, moving on. We'll just take a quick look at bonds. Chart 46, TLT 20-year bond, down 1.8% for the week. I'll cover this more in the commodity newsletter. We already have enough charts in this newsletter, so let's move on. Chart 46, HYG, high yield corporate bonds. Got to keep an eye on this. Remember, high yield corporate bonds are junk bonds. While this uptrends, the market's healthy. So if this ever starts to have a big correction and the market hasn't, that's a divergence to really pay attention to, but still holding up here. Next, chart 48, here's the 60-minute view. Had a little rising wedge in that time frame, slight pullback, but, you know, a little bounce. Nothing definitive. And finally, chart 49, here's the weekly view. Again, big obvious rising wedge pattern. It's developed in here for a good year now. It's well developed. You have three lower highs in place on the RSI. So that's a three pattern push. This could play out for a big correction eventually this year. And if it does, the market likely will as well. This is always something I keep in the back of my head. You got to keep an eye on this, guys. All right, let's move on to the market sectors. Chart 50, transports. Big correction last week, down 2.6%. That's something to keep an eye on. Next, chart 51, here's the daily view. Nice sell-off here the last several weeks on that daily. Next, chart 52, here's the Dow theory. This shows you the transports, the Dow, and the Dow transport to ratio. You can see the ratio and the transports have been leading down while the Dow has been making new highs. That is a negative divergence that may eventually lead to a market pullback. Next, Charber 53, here's a 60-minute view of the tradable ETF IYT. Little bounce late last week, but still no positive MACD divergence here. So it still looks very weak to me, guys. Next, Charber 54, XLE Energy, finally a nice rally up over 2%. It's been downtrending since December, finally broke over this downtrend line. Not surprised. Again, it's been downtrending for a good 8 months. Had some divergence on the weekly views on the RSIs. We were looking for a bounce here. Finally got it last week. We'll see if we can get any follow through or not. Next, Charber 56. Here's the daily view. You can see the pattern it's been setting up. So far at the highs last week on Friday, rally of $3.85 off the lows. That is larger than the one into early April of 360. Is that enough for a symmetry break? I don't know. Honestly, I like to see a bigger move for a symmetry break, guys. Like a good 10% move above, but we'll see. Next, Charber 56. Here's OAH Oil Services. This had a $2.75 bounce, so I was looking for a higher low. You know, we may have got what it plays here. We'll see. Again, for true symmetry breaks, I like to see a really good break. Like, you know, if you had a $2.40 move previously, if you had a $3 or $3.50 move, to me, that's a great symmetry break. To me, this is a so-so symmetry break, so we'll see. Again, obviously still bearish moving average configurations, but we'll see if this can start to reverse up or not. Next, Charber 57, here's a 60-minute view. So last week, it bounced near that doji, rallied up, but made a lower high so far, and just kind of chopping around here so far. Next, Charber 58, here's the bullish percent energy index, BPDR, the Rinko version. This went on a buy signal there back in June, and it's obviously played out. This was down in the low teens, so it was quite low. He had a divergent low, so wasn't surprised to see it move up. Next, reviewing some other market sectors, Charber 59, XRT Retail. It's had a nice rally the last week or so. Took out a little trend line there. You know, is this an inverse head and shoulder pattern or not? We'll see. Again, should it move higher, that 200-day moving average would be at least an initial target, perhaps. Next, Charber 60, banks. Been able to rally. Last week, especially after the FOMC, they didn't like that, more of their dovish comments. Remember, banks like the rising interest rates, and the Fed is, you know, not sure if they're going to continue raising rates, but we'll see. But you can see banks pull back off that resistance. A lot of sideways action this year. Next, Charber 61, XLF Financial, same look basically. Right around the 20-day moving average here. Next, Charber 62, XLK Technology, looks basically identical to the triple Qs and NASDAQ 100. Slight divergence last week, slight pullback, but, you know, again, looks identical to the NASDAQ 100. Next, Charber 63, semiconductors, a very strong sector this year as well. Didn't make a new high, didn't take out the June highs, pullback. Short-term support of the 20 and 50-day moving averages here. Next, Charber 64, XOU Utilities. This broken up trend line in June, rallied up, back tested that broken trend line where it found resistance. Pulled back there, now just chopping around. Remember, this follows bonds quite a bit. Next, Charber 65, XOB Materials. Pull back from last week, nearing the 20-day moving average, that's your support. Next, Charber 66, XOP, Consumer Staples. So far, lower high in place. Next, Charber 67, XBI Biotech. Pulled back from the divergent high last week, a little bounce. Here I noted a support level to monitor that lower trend line. Next, Charber 68, IYR Real Estate continues to just chop around here. Continues to be in an uptrend, though mostly a sideways uptrend this year. Next, Jarvis 69, logically moving into home builders, chopping around here, kind of a sideways move over the last couple months. One could argue on a bullish say this is sort of a symmetrical ascending triangle, but needs to hold in here. A good close below the 50-day moving average would be a shot across the bow, negative. Next, Jarvis 70 XGDX weekly view up 2.25% for the week. Nice move. I'll discuss this more in the commodity newsletter. Overall, still in its triangle pattern here, hasn't broken out or anything. Next, Jarvis 71 metals and mining. Nice pullback last week. You can see it rallied out of that initial pattern I drew, but made a new high, then pulled back. All right. Finally, looking at a few world markets to complete the newsletter, chart for 72, German DAX. This broken up trend line, as I noted back in June, formed a lower high, continues lower. The rising 200-day moving average is a big support level below. Next, chart for 73, Tokyo Nikkei Index continues trading sideways. Again, this has been also a lot of liquidity from the market. You know, everyone talks about the U.S. Fed, but no one outdoes the Japanese as far as printing money liquidity. That's all they do is print. Anyway, so far, market's been going sideways this year. Next, Charter 74, London FTSE. Been chopping around here, more sort of a rounded top almost look to it. Again, still strong. 200-day moving average below is the support. Next, Charter 75, Toronto Exchange, Canada continues down in this sort of pattern, wedge-like pattern. No change, really. And that'll do it, guys. So, again, keep on your toes with the market, guys. Don't get complacent. And got one more newsletter coming out, the commodities. See you on that one. Take care.